We'll go to Hollywood in this November 2, 2012 edition of the Rain Report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with this Rain Report. The November 2 Amateur Radio Newsline newscast reported the following. Ham Radio Celebrates Hollywood was the title of an all-band, all-mode operation from Stage 9 at CBS Studio Center in Los Angeles, California, on Sunday, October 28th. Stage 9 is currently the home of the hit sitcom Last Man Standing, which features ham radio as one of the show's themes. The call sign of the operation was K6H, which stood for King 6 Hollywood. And maybe you were one of the lucky ones to make contact with members of the Southern California-based Papa Repeater System, who sponsored and staffed this fun event. While the majority of operators came from the Papa System, the idea of the event was that of John Amadeo, NN6JA, who happens to be the producer of Last Man Standing. Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, spoke with Amadeo about this special event station and more.
We're here today for a Papa special event radio station called K6H. And we're on the set of Last Man Standing. Actually, we're on Stage 9 at CBS Radford Studios here in Studio City, California, a very famous stage. Most people know it as the Seinfeld stage, but there's been a lot of other things on this stage, very successful TV shows on this lot and on this stage in particular.
How did this event come about?
I think it came about because I was asked a while ago to do a forum at Dayton by the ARRL to talk about ham radio and the way it's treated in the media. So that set me off to think about how ham radio is often portrayed either inaccurately or negatively. I wrote a forum and performed it in Dayton, and it went out very well. But I could see that there was a bigger audience to reach with the whole concept of ham radio and Hollywood. And I thought, a special event radio station, that might be fun. And we have the stage, and we have a lot of ham radio equipment on the stage that we could use to do that. And I'm a member of a couple of radio clubs, in particular the Papa Group here in Southern California, Great South Bay Radio Club on Long Island, and a member of BEARS, which is a broadcast engineers radio club, who are connected to DEERS, Disney Amateur Radio Guys, and DARI, which is an interconnect repeater system on the East Coast. So I thought to myself, well, if I could get the Papa people on the West Coast and the BEARS guys on the East Coast and maybe throw in an IRLP and an Echolink, I could cover most of the country, which is true, and concocted this event that would incorporate HF, UHF, VHF, IRLP, D-Star, and anything else we could think of to have as many hams call us as possible and spread the word that, you know, ham radio is still here, strong, and the Hollywood connection is strong on both coasts and across the country, and here we are doing it. It seems to be working out pretty well.
You seem enthralled with ham radio. It's a part of your life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always been a part of my life. I got interested in the technology of radio probably as a preteen, read the ARRL handbook enough times to ultimately understand it, and I've used that base of knowledge for the rest of my career. It led me through, when I first moved to California, video engineering, audio mixing, all the technical aspects of television production. And it serves me every day even as a line producer because I can go to my sound mixers and speak to them like a sound mixer and my video engineers and speak to them like a video engineer. It just gives me an expertise that allows my crew to interact with me more like a technician, but at the same time as a producer, I think my studios understand that I have the technology and the technological background to deliver what I guarantee I can deliver, which is usually a funny television show that's produced on time and on its budget.
So you've taken amateur radio and basically built your career on it. That's similar to what I've done. Have you found that the acceptance by the people you work with, especially the technical people, is greater?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that many producers that come from a non-technical background have to ask their technical staff how things can be accomplished, and then, of course, you just have to accept their word for it. And if you come into producing with a strong technical background, you already know the answers to those questions. You're more likely to be able to collaboratively interact with the technical staff and come up with solutions that work for the technical staff, but also for the show and the budget and the time frame that you have to work within.
How do you segue from the technical end of things into producing? Because I know I wound up in doing the same thing.
There are many paths, I think, to producing, and there are certainly the financial tracks where people that deal with money become producers just because of their ability to deal with money. In my case, I was an editor for many years, so I learned shooting, editing skills, and because of that expertise, I worked for a small production studio as an executive just to help them control their costs for shooting and editing, and then ultimately made friends with a number of writer-producer types, and that were looking for an enlightened, creative way to produce television shows that would also keep their costs down and their... I don't think that's me. That's probably you. In any case...
You'd know if it was me.
Okay. This is probably off. So no, it's off. Sorry, so I lost the thread of that question. But basically, the crossover was pretty easy for me because I had a technical background that came from ham radio, but I did go to a small film school on the East Coast and learned photography. It was actually my major. I have a fine arts degree in photography. So I was able to take the creative aspects of photography and composition and shooting and then blend it with the electronics background that I learned sort of in ham radio. And then the two things kind of worked perfectly together in that I have the creative side of your brain and the technological side of your brain allows you to walk right into television production.
Which brings me to the show that you're on right now. How did you wind up with this show, and then how did you introduce ham radio into it?
Well, I'm a freelance producer, so I am generally offered a number of scripts every pilot season. And the pilot season is when we make new television shows and then put them out in front of audiences to see if anybody likes them enough to watch them or buy them. I've had a long affiliation with both Fox, who produces Last Man Standing, and with ABC. I've done a number of shows for ABC. So this show was offered to me early on in its inception. I met with the writer-producers of the show. I met with Tim Allen as the star of it. And it seemed like it would be a good fit with my background and the things I've done. So I accepted the gig and hired to do it, and here I am doing it. It seems to be working out pretty well and kind of a lot of fun.
You're listening to John Amadeo, NN6JA. Speaking with Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, about the K6H Ham Radio Celebrates Hollywood special event station and the role ham radio plays in Amadeo's sitcom, Last Man Standing. We'll conclude Bill's interview in a moment. This is the Rain Report, available via your iPhone on iTunes.
We have a quick question from Mike.
Yes, just for a second. Sure. Can you tweet that we're moving the D-Star from Reflector 12, which died, to 30 Charlie?
Billy can. Billy's your tweeter.
Oh, he can tweet too.
He'll do it directly. Absolutely.
You have an official tweeter, huh?
We have a tweeter on the show. Billy, who's our assistant production coordinator, who's also a ham radio operator, because as you, some of your fans will know that we have like 12 ham radio operators on the staff. And Billy's one of them, and he's over there live in real time tweeting and Facebooking about the event so that people can follow the frequencies we're broadcasting on. He's over there with Nicole, who's the production coordinator, and they are live in real time tweeting and Facebooking about the event so that people can follow the frequencies we're broadcasting on. It's really worked out perfectly well today.
How did ham radio get involved in this show?
Ham radio was a pretty organic thing for the show. When I met with Tim Allen initially about the show, we talked about his character, Mike Baxter. And Mike Baxter is the consummate man's man, and he's a hunter and a camper and a fisherman and all that. And Tim himself likes to do those activities, a bit of a survivalist. And one of the things he thought Mike Baxter would have in his life was radio. So I said to him, radio? What do you mean? You mean ham radio? And he said, yeah, ham radio. Mike Baxter would have ham radio. And of course, the light bulb went off in my head and made me very happy to hear that, because I knew that if we were to build Mike Baxter a radio station on a set, that it was going to be real and it was going to work and it was going to be able to contact people out there in the real world. We're definitely here to prove that today, because we've made hundreds, if not perhaps thousands, of contacts through all of those modes and bands today.
Where do you think this is going to go, the whole concept of ham radio, in this TV show, and possibly it being picked up by other producers?
That's hard to say. On our show, I know that certainly the writers and the actors are aware of it, and it really has more to do with the writers and how the writers want to deal with ham radio. For other TV shows, I can only talk about the ones that I may produce in the future. I will try to keep ham radio alive in television. But, you know, it really starts with story, and of course, Mike Baxter and his family, and this show deals with Mike at work with his coworkers and Mike at home with his wife and children. So you are always going to be more likely to hear a story about something funny happening in the home life than with Mike Baxter talking on the ham radio. Certainly I've had lots of suggestions about funny stories on the ham radio, but we do service the masses. Of course, the TV show has to please the 10 million, not the 1 million. So it is less likely to have Mike Baxter participating in a CW contest. He's more likely to be talking to one of his daughters about her driving skills or her boyfriend. Hopefully there's enough ham radio to keep the viewer's interest. There are lots of ham radio Easter eggs hidden all over the show. And if you watch the show carefully, and many people do, you'll zoom in on the QSL cards and the fact that there's an ARRL handbook under Mike's vlog camera. And at the moment, Mike Baxter has a vintage microphone collection in his home office, which people haven't seen until this season, which actually happens to be my vintage microphone collection. So there'll be lots of little fun things to see. And then, you know, hopefully the writers will put more hardcore ham radio content in the season. But that really has to do with them and making the show funny and watchable for the mass audience, not just the ham radio audience.
From the way you're talking, you're having a ball with this show.
Absolutely. How could you not? Doing a TV show is a lot of work, and I shouldn't ever have anyone under the impression that it's not a job. It's a real hard job, and we work really long hours, and we work very hard on it. But the people that work with me are great at what they do, so that makes this all possible. And being able to bring even just a little touch of the hobby that we all love so much into a show like this is just the icing on the cake.
Anything else that you have comes to mind that if you could talk to all the hams out there in hamdom that you'd like to share with them?
The most important thing that I always say to all the operators I talk to is just to get on the air and stay on the air, because one of the causes that's near and dear to my heart is simply spectrum defense. Because, you know, if we don't use our spectrum, it's likely to become a wireless device of some kind. And as I'm as a big a fan as watching somebody's cat drink milk on a wireless device, I'd still rather not lose 20 meters to do that. So I encourage people to get on the air. We just need to keep the activity up.
Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6 ITF, speaking with John Amadeo, NN6 JA. Producer of the popular sitcom Last Man Standing that includes ham radio as one of its themes. Audio courtesy of the Amateur Radio Newsline. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2012 Rain, all rights reserved. Now, for all those repeater and simplex stations that carry this service, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.